The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Hallis Hall. It's another edition of Bears All Access. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, and we're pleased to be joined by one of the new Bears on the defensive side of the ball, the linebacker by way of Indianapolis, Canada, Division III. He's been all over the place, but he's built quite a career for himself. Jarrell Freeman, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good.
Jarrell, nice to have you here. Hey, you know, a couple questions about early in your career. Before I played with the Bears, I played in the USFL for three seasons. So you kind of play some football that's a little bit forgotten about. But talking about your CFL career, you led the league in tackles one year. Did you have more tackles against pass plays or against the run?
I have no idea. I'd say against the run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had 13 sacks. Were you blitzing, or is it read blitzes, or how do you go about getting that many sacks as an inside linebacker?
That's the thing about when you're playing up there in Canada, it's so multiple. You do so many things. Those were just me rushing off the edge. I was like a third down rusher. And up in Canada,
off of facing offensive tackles in the league. No kidding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like you could do it in the NFL, or are you more comfortable with a little bit off the line of scrimmage in the interior of the defense?
Just blitzing is fine. I mean, these old linemen are a lot more skilled than some of those guys up in Canada. But they have some skills up there in Canada. But these guys on the edge are a little they're a little different. But I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it, but we have plenty of guys on our roster that can rush off the edge.
Think about that. We started the show, and you could have made a case that, at least on the defensive side of the ball, that the position which probably has the most depth would be outside linebacker, right, when you consider the people that the Bears have and the people who will be coming back from injury. And apparently they've got another one that we didn't know about in Jarrell.
Yeah, I led the team for 2 years in sacks, just third down rusher, yeah. But I mean, but sometimes I'd rush off the edge. Sometimes I'd be at cornerback. Sometimes I'd be at safety on third downs. It was just so much that they had me doing up there.
But the reason that I think the Bears fell in love with you and they wanted you to come here is because there's certain instincts that you have playing in the middle that you can't teach. So how did you learn? How did you pick up the ability to just know where to be able to get to the point of attack and own it? Is that something that you just spent hours and hours watching tape? Is it good coaching from your background, or is it just something that you naturally picked up?
I guess you got to learn, have vision. I mean, it's I know when I was young, I mean, I played running back. I'm sure everybody played running back or quarterback.
I don't think Tom did.
No.
Once you're an offensive lineman, that's what you are for life.
He was stuck.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess my vision started there, but I don't know when I went to college. They were a power running team, so I've seen pretty much every run that you can do. I mean, there's some new little things, you know, down and around, some stuff that different guys do up here, but it was just pound the rock, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. You know, it was just, and I've seen, you know, this is kind of how I grew up.
Your ability to cover now at an NFL level, did the CFL help you? Because I think you probably face a little bit more throws in the CFL than you would, you know, straight ahead fullback runs and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. It's I mean, we think of CFL, it's only three downs, it's not four up here, so it's like second and long every time. So they're throwing the ball a whole lot. So yeah, I mean, and within our defense, sometimes I had to go cover slot receivers. Sometimes I have to cover tight ends and running backs. And with the defense that I ran up in Canada was just crazy off the wall. I mean, but so it was just so many things that I had to do. It kind of sharpened my skills when I came back down here.
You have good hands? Can you catch anything?
I would say so.
Right.
I mean, that's my opinion. But you know.
Well, you know, played a long time with Mike Singletary, and he didn't have very good hands, you know. And it always interests me when I see a linebacker who from the interior position, man, some guys make obviously, you make good catches. You had the interception on the tip ball earlier in the preseason, but now you come up and, you know, when they throw at you, whether it's a tight end crossing route or back out of the backfield, are we going to see the mitts on Jarrell Freeman?
You're going to see the mitts, and I'm not predicting anything, but I'm just going to say I believe I have some good hands. I mean, even coming out of high school, I was a better offensive player than defensive player, so it was I was like a all-state tight end H-back. So, yeah, it was
Whoa, hold on here, because I would think it's the hardest thing in the world to sit down an offensive player who believes he's a good offensive player. And what did the coach have to tell you to convince you to flip over to the other side of the field?
I mean, I played both sides. Yeah, back in Texas. I mean, I didn't go to a small school, but it was some guys that did play both sides. So I played tight end and DN on defense. So it was just,
Well, last year we had Mitch Unrein. He lined up in the backfield as a lead blocker sometimes on short yardage and goal line.
Okay.
You know, so if you have that versatility, it works.
You just gave him an idea. He's going right to the offensive room.
Go talk to Dow here in a little bit.
I don't know. You know, I look at the size of the couple of the fullbacks the Bears have on their roster and look at the job they did last week in New England. Yeah, those guys are thick. And, I mean, they look a lot different than the inside linebackers where you guys run so well that you chase guys down the field or lead blockers in front. And those guys bring a little bit of power with them when they get through the hole.
Oh, absolutely. Because I think last year when I was in Indy, Chicago came to us.
Right.
And they stayed in 12 personnel. So they were doing leads and doing wraps and everything with their tight ends. And now they have fullbacks. So it's a little different look now.
Yeah, with Paul Asike, who's a rugby player from New Zealand. Yeah. So you don't want to mess with him,
He's
right?
He's bringing it.
Yeah. Right.
And then there's Darrell Williams. And, you know, competition brings out the best in everybody. So he's watching Asike, and he's bringing it, too.
Yes, absolutely.
But I think, you know, that's the way the NFL was built for a lot of years. You had the versatility of the H-back, the tight end, who played multiple positions. But for years, if you look at the fullback in front of Tony Dorsett, you look at the fullback in front of Earl Campbell, you look at the fullback in some of these guys that they have great, you know, great stats about their career, a lot of it had to do with fullbacks.
Mm-hmm. So then why did it disappear for a little bit here in this new NFL?
I don't know, probably the emergence of the quarterback, you know, taking control of the offense and spread offense. It's just, I don't know.
People have to be versatile. They can't be just one position player. It's like you play first down, second down, and third down. Mm-hmm. You get a fullback that plays first and 10, and then they go to a spread out offense. The fullback's lost, and then you got to put somebody else in there. So they started taking, you know, Joe Gibbs started taking the fullback position and getting use out of it from the H-back, from the tight ends, and then so you could carry more tight ends.
So that's what we do here on Bears All Access. We learn a little bit about football history, we talk about the modern game, and we're going to learn a lot about Jarrell Freeman. When we come back, you found out a little bit the offensive background, but you know when you hear players say they've got a chip on their shoulder? This guy has the mother of all chips. We'll explain next. The new Bears linebacker, Jarrell Freeman, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. You can watch segments on the Chicago Bears official mobile app. This week, Bears alumni give current rookies a history lesson. There's a profile of rookie Jordan Howard and his difficult journey to the NFL. How about this? Skydiving with Peanut Tillman. Did you see this from the Aaron Water Show?
Did.
My goodness. He's got some Brazos, that guy.
A tandem jump.
I didn't see you jumping out.
Well,
of
no, you know, you know, if you look at his picture in the paper, the tandem jumper that's in front has a leather helmet on, then the tandem the jumper behind him has a hard shell helmet on. It's because of the first guy, your head snaps back and sometimes knocks out the guy in the back, and you know, got you. That's who pulls the ripcord.
I think I heard Seinfeld once say that if that parachute doesn't work, the helmet's wearing you, not the other way around. So. And also on Inside the Bears, they're going to take a look at the sculptor behind the George Halas statue that was unveiled 1 year ago today out in front of Halas Hall. It's one of the coolest things about coming to the building here on an everyday basis. And, Jarrell, you know this. I mean, you used to go to – you know, we were down there last year when the joint practices between the Colts and the Bears. There's a different feeling when you roll up to Halas Hall just because of the history of the franchise dating back to 1920. And I'm sure that's something you realized as soon as you signed on the dotted line here.
I mean, I've realized that growing up, just the history of the Bears, Bears defense,
Walter. You know, it's just so many things that come to mind when you talk about the Bears. So, yeah, when I saw on the dotted line, I was like, ooh. It's, you know.
And you're playing one of the most famous positions in the history of the Chicago Bears. When you talk about Buckus and Singletary, Buffon, hey, just to mention a couple.
He's wearing Singletary's number. Yeah,
exactly. I realize that. I see 50 across from me the whole time I was playing. Yeah.
Did he tweet you? I remember when it was announced that you were going to wear number 50.
Right.
That, you know, a big deal was made. Obviously, it's such a special number here. And right. The Bears can't retire any more numbers because they have so many retired. So did he tweet you? I know he's been on Hard Knocks and doing the push-ups and showing everybody that he's a big deal with the L.A. Rams now. But, you know, I know that he always has an eye on what's happening here at Hallis Hall as well.
Yes. He when they announced it, I was like, man. They just announced it like that, and then they tagged me in a photo and stuff, and then I'm seeing all the comments, and I was like, oh man, this is about to be rough going in there. But I mean, I was just like, hey, I'm going there to work hard, you know, and then just prove myself. But then he came back with a tweet. He just didn't care about the number. He just, like, he knows the character of the man, and he just believes I'm going to wear the number well. So it was a great gesture. I mean, I was honored for him to say something like that, you know. So it was a great, great move by him.
Right, you know, 10-time Pro Bowler, a couple times MVP, defensive MVP of the league. You don't need any inspiration, because when you follow your path to what got you to the NFL and what got you to the Chicago Bears, it's as inspirational as some of the guys that have come and played in front of you, because it's not – you didn't have an easy road. It wasn't like you came to Division I college, went to the combine, boom, got drafted, and then it's easy street. It wasn't that way for you.
Right. Coming out of high school, wasn't really highly recruited.
How did that happen?
Like I said, I was playing out of position. I mean, no, because now I can understand it. Nobody wants to – coming out of high school, I think I was like 5'9", 5'10".
But even you would think – just anyone in Texas, right?
Right.
I mean, you bleed the sport when you're playing it at any level. So even a guy who's not considered to be an elite-level high school athlete, you would figure would have value to some major school. And
I mean, you would think, but when you're in Texas, there's a lot of athletes. Texas high school football is huge. They're building a $70 million stadium right now. You know what I mean? It's huge. So it's a lot of guys playing that position. With the height and weight and everything, speed, everything everybody wants. So I mean, even I was a no star athlete coming out. So it wasn't like I, you know, had a lot of teams knocking on my door. So it was luckily for me, my mom and dad was killing me with the education, which is great. You know, ended up with like a 4.0, and it just was able to get an academic scholarship to go to the school that I went to. So, I went there. And
had you heard about this? Because Baylor Mary Harden, right?
Mary Harden Baylor, yeah.
So, because that's not a school that you think of in terms of football
at all. Right.
And so why did you keep with the dream? You know, because sometimes if these major schools are telling you, hey, you're not even a consideration.
Right.
How did you keep the dream alive?
I just enjoy playing football. I'm still like a little kid. If you ever see me watching me outside in practice and everything, I'm still like a little kid out there running around, you know. And my brother had actually visited the school 3 years earlier, and I went with him, and, you know, I had a great time. He, you know, walked me around, took me around with him and what the family could go to, you know. And when they get the recruits on, they was like, nah, little bro, you gotta stay back. But it was Yeah, I mean, I had a great experience there. So,
who was a recognizable name that came out of Texas your year that maybe we've heard of, just that, you know, that we can kind of have that time frame when you came out?
One of your peers?
Who came out of Texas the same time you did?
Are you just saying my age?
Your age.
I'm Adrian Peterson, probably.
There you go.
Yeah, I played against him in high school. He still is running the same way. He hasn't slowed down either.
You'll see him twice this year.
No,
have you played against him in your pro career yet? Have you crossed paths with him?
Yeah, back in 2012. We played against him. Yeah,
guy's legit.
He's a real deal. Yeah.
Well, you know, he plays for the Minnesota Vikings, and we're bear guys, but you have to admire greatness when you see it, because the preparation. You know, you talk about the commitment to the preparation in the off season. It what allows you to play during the season. If you don't go out there, and obviously you put in the work during the off season to be an NFL player, You know, that's the most important part. And then when you talk about having fun out there, you got to have fun.
Yeah, too.
You know, because if you go out there and you hate walking out to practice every day, you're beat before you ever lace your shoes up.
No question. It's I think it's just an attitude, especially as you get older, you start seeing a lot of things. You know, you develop relationships and people come and go. You always have to have that love for the game that you do for your guys around you, man. So it's I think that's just important. Like you said, and when you lose it, man, it's, yeah, you're,
right.
you're out
you're
of
done.
There. Yeah.
Our guest is Jarrell Freeman, the new Bears linebacker here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, Zach Zabin, and Tom Thayer with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, though, you hit something that I think is important because there are probably a lot of kids listening as well to the show. And, you know, your story is a great one of perseverance, but you also mentioned the education. So what was the backup plan in the event football didn't work out? We'll find out from Jarrell Freeman next on Bears All Access on The Score. Cheer on your Chicago Bears at Soldier Field this season. Select single-game tickets available. Visit ChicagoBears.com today. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin, joined by Bears linebacker Jarrell Freeman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Great backstory to get to this level of the NFL and be able to stay as a consistently good performer throughout your NFL career. Started off where no major school wanted him, had to play small ball, but got himself into the CFL, eventually into the NFL, and now you're, you know, when another team wants you in free agency, yeah. I mean, that's a big sign in this league.
Yeah, I mean, you want to be wanted. As any player, you want to go somewhere and play that one place your whole career. But, you know, things happen, the business happens, so, I mean, and once you get in free agency, to have teams that want you, it's a great feeling.
So how do you go from a high school player who's playing out of position, 5'10", the big schools don't want you, the parents are stressing education, can you be an elite-level NFL player, a high-level, productive NFL player, if you're thinking of a backup plan?
I believe so. You just, like I said, I as a competitor, you want to go out there and be the best person that you can be where you are. You can only be where you are, be where your feet are. You know what I mean? So that's where I was there. It's a powerhouse Division III college, okay?
Yeah, we should point that out. I mean, it's not some mamby-pamby
okay,
Division III school. I mean.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it's just me wanting to get better. And also, like, you're a student first. When you go to the Division III college, you're a student first, no question.
What were you studying? What was in the event? Because sometimes football doesn't work out. It might be out of your hands, you know?
Yeah, I was a criminal justice major, psychology minor. So, yeah.
But, you know, the thing about it is the reason education is so important because football, for lack of a better term, it's not a dumb man's game. Whether it's Vic Fangio defense or you're trying to learn an offense, there's no way that you can play in the NFL and make mental mistakes.
Because can't fake it.
Physical mistakes, they can coach you through. Mental mistakes will get you cut. And that's when you talk about education first. If your mom and dad, if your seniority figures in your life didn't stress education, you would not be here right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm blessed to have a mother and father that was on me about my education, on me all the time. You do your homework, you know, bring my grades home. It's just, I think I'm really blessed to have that. And like you said, you can't be dumb or anything and have a long career in NFL. You're going to get exposed. You know, I'm eating at a bar or, you know what I'm saying, something, and I hear people talk about football, how simple it is, all you have to do is this and this and this. I'm like, man, they have no idea how hard the football actually is mentally. You could be a physical specimen and never get it. You can run a 4.3, but once you turn that film on and you have to actually play within the defense, you might run a 5.0, you know?
Right. I always talk about the analogy as if someone told you to learn a foreign language where you have to go and speak it fluently within 3 months.
Right.
Because you sign a contract with the Bears, and then you have to learn the terminology inside and out. Because an inside linebacker, you're not only dealing with your position. You're dealing with your position, and then you got six guys in front and to the side of you, and you have to make sure that every time the offense makes an adjustment, that you guys are making the correct adjustments according to the terminology you heard in your helmet or Danny heard in his helmet, and you guys are both conferring together on an instant's notice. And it's like my coach used to say, if you're thinking, you're beat. Yeah, you have to know.
you gotta know it inside and out. And yeah, it's like, okay, you go learn that British literature book, okay, in a few months right now, all right, and we'll see how fluent you are in that. It's just is that hard sometimes. But luckily, I mean, in Indy, different terminology, different type of 3-4. It was different. So when I got here, a couple of the concepts were the same, but it's just me learning a whole brand new playbook.
And you saw a little bit of it last week because Danny Trevathan wasn't on the field in that game against New England.
Right.
So you're the guy who had the little green sticker in the back of the helmet. Right. You had to call the plays. Mm. So do you find yourself, when you're out there with Danny on the practice field and he's calling the plays, are you in sync with him? Do you see it the same time he sees it?
Yeah, I mean, both of us call the plays. I mean, so it's and we want to be in sync. I mean, you take pride in that. You take pride in being able to be loud and people trust what you're saying and people know what you're saying is to be, okay, yeah, we're doing that. Okay, Free got me. Okay, well, I don't know what to do or I don't know something or just ask Free or ask Danny or somebody else and they're going to let you know. I mean, it's comforting to know somebody can do that and you take pride in that.
When they're talking in your helmet, for the listeners out there, the people that watch football and they see the green dot, do you hear the information perfectly clear or – do you have to know it well enough that when you start hearing it, you kind of know what the words are going to come next?
You kind of have to know what. But the thing is, some of the calls, you can switch one word in there, or you can switch one something in there, and it changes something else.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
You have to listen to the whole thing. It could be different in the red zone than it is on the field. I mean, it depends on what sides of the field you're on. So it's You got to kind of know what they're thinking, and it's good to know what you're thinking and everything. Yeah.
And keep in mind, it's not as clear in the helmet
as
you're hearing
that's
us
what I'm
right
saying.
Now through the speakers
you're right.
Of your radio.
It's kind
clear.
Of a muffled sound, yeah. And then you go and you just make a big head-on collision. You're still trying to get your noggin back together.
And Vic, we're speaking with Jarrell Freeman, the new Bears linebacker. There's a mic and a jack, right? Those are the inside linebacker positions.
Right.
So who's the mic and who's the jack in this defense, and what are the different responsibilities in a broad term?
I'm the mic, Danny would be the jack. And, I mean, there's so many different things where it can be interchangeable. And, like, it's not a set thing that we're doing, you know what I mean? It just depends on the call and what you do.
One thing about being a mic linebacker, when you see the quarterback point to the responsibility of the offensive line and the linebacker, they're pointing to the mic.
Yeah.
At least that throughout my era, they always pointed to the mic man because now you got an evaluation of who you're responsible for in the direction of the protection.
Yeah, but you guys know this ahead of time, so you're trying to play with the quarterback a little bit.
Sometimes it's a nice little chess game going on out there, you know. And you mic me, so I might switch. I might slide and flip it and then run something against your scheme or against your blocking scheme. It's just, yeah.
Right. I mean, as soon as they create confusion or they get inside the foot, the heels of the defensive lineman, everything changes. So, again, it's just an identification point to trying to get organized on the line of scrimmage.
And we got to take the break here. But it must have been easier to hear the plays last week because you're playing on the road. Usually the crowd is quiet when the opposing offense is. It'll be a little different at Soldier Field this week. Who's the guy? Because Vic Fangio's in the coach's box. So someone on the sideline is relaying the plays. Who's the coach?
Coach Pryor's our linebacker coach. Young Pryor's,
yeah, he's smooth. He's got a good voice.
Oh,
yeah. He could do what we do for a living.
He got a little accent every once in a while. We got to get one of the Boston accent. But
he was in New England. It came out.
Yeah.
Jarrell Freeman is our guest. Got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll discuss some of the new changes to the Bears defense, the things that you're going to like heading into the 2016 season. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The August 27th preseason game against the Kansas City Chiefs is brought to you by Hall of Fame partner United Airlines. The first 25,000 fans entering Soldier Field will receive a Bears schedule magnet courtesy of United Airlines. United, proudly flying the Bears for over 40 years. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Saban, Tom Thayer, joined by special guest Jarrell Freeman here for the entire hour on the program. And, you know, they call this the quote-unquote dress rehearsal for the regular season. But the reality is, you're not game planning. You're not scheming. So it is nothing like a real regular season game, right, Tom?
I hate whoever invented that term because I think it's a bunch of baloney. And every rep that you're on the field, whether it's the first preseason game or the last preseason game or the regular season, if you don't live up to your obligation, you can get cut.
So why do they call this the most important one?
Oh, because they play the starters and they go through the halftime adjustments and they come out and they play a series in the second half. That is, it's blah, blah, blah. Because I don't know. I think every rep that you're on the field, like when we had a talk, I think he had 12 reps the first preseason game. Every one of those reps are important.
Right.
And these reps are equally as important as the first game.
Can I illustrate a point? There was earlier this week on the practice field, the Bears have a center that's been working with the first team by the name of Cornelius Edison because Kyle Long's banged up and the Bears have kind of shuffled the offensive line. So anyway, there was one play where I guess his shoe was untied.
Right.
So he reaches down to try and tie the shoe. And the backup center, Khalid Holmes, who you played with in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. races onto the field. And Dow Loggins, the Bears offensive coordinator, kind of blows the whistle and says, stay off the field. Every rep is important.
Right.
That's how important, even on the practice field, that's how important every single rep is.
Double tie your shoes. Make sure your chin strap's tight enough. Those are, attention to detail. And, it's like a guy on a football field, when I see him lose his shoe, I'm thinking, how can you do that? How do you not have a tie tight enough?
Hey, listen, Cornelius Edison didn't go to a Division III powerhouse like Jarrell Freeman. He went to Portland State.
He knows how to tie his shoes.
And he wasn't All-American, by the way. So this guy, at the level that he was playing football in, was a high-level performer, had an ACL before he joined the Bears. That's why he wasn't drafted. But in all likelihood, would have been.
Cornelius?
At Cornelius Edison.
He's doing a really nice job. I really admire him. He's been thrust into a position where you don't have time to think about it. You got to perform as soon as you get that notice. And, like you, when was your first play? Were you starting right when you got into the NFL? Did you, finally get a snap and all of a sudden you were there to stay?
Yeah, it was my first game, I think, was against the Rams. The first play of the game, when I first came in, I was just a third down linebacker, special teams guy. And that's how it was first couple weeks, those 2 weeks before you come to get out of play. First game, the starter, Pat Anger, was just, if it wasn't for him, I'd still be kind of swimming right now with that defense. He helped me along. He's a great friend of mine. So it was, he broke his foot first play of the game.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was just like, all right, well for
right.
Is this is your opportunity. And kind of the same thing happened in Canada. Like two or three dudes had to get hurt before I got the opportunity my second year there to get in and start. So and then I got in and started, and it was the same thing.
Similar to what the way you got
right.
your shot with
when
the Bears.
When I came to the Bears, I was playing center guard, and then in the third game, in the second quarter, the offensive line coach came in and said, hey, Kurt Becker twisted his knee, you're in. And that's how much notice you get, and you go in, and it was.
Is it better that way, though, to not have to sleep on it? And because you probably wouldn't be able to get sleep if you knew ahead of time that you're going to be the starter, right?
You just get thrown in there. I mean, this, I guess.
You have no time to think.
But it doesn't really matter, because if you're prepared, if you're doing what you're supposed to do before, you don't really have that anxious feeling that anxiety. You just go in and it's like, okay, I'm prepared. I know what I'm doing. And it's another thing that helped me out, being a studier, being a study guy, being in my books. I mean, I'm able to, I see this, I understand it. All right. So they kept the same game plan in, and we just went played and never gave a position back.
But that's the way you lived your life. You sat on the edge of the bench, chopping at the bit, waiting for as soon as you give me my rep, I'm in.
I'm taking it.
Right. And that, that's the type of guys that you want to be surrounded by in your team. You don't want a guy that has to look for his helmet when his opportunity presents itself.
Right.
You want to have a guy that's sitting there airing his helmet, chin strap on, ready to roll.
You got to grab him on the sideline. He's running in. Get back. What are you doing going in there? Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of guys. Orion got some small school guys. I mean, even Danny's a sixth rounder, which I don't know who did that. I got to talk to some scouts about that. But the first rounders we got with Eddie and 9-4 over there. I mean, they're guys that work, and they work at their craft.
Right.
And they want to know what they're doing, and they don't mind doing any dirty work. I mean, it's just no egos there. It's everybody's is like minded.
And I think people need to realize, because it's not just about the development of the high draft picks. Obviously, we're going to focus in on them because they get all the fanfare coming into any kind of training camp, any kind of season. But if you want to build a good football team, you have to make sure that eventually your core features guys like you, like Danny, guys that don't have the big name background, but were able to get good coaching, were able to show up when it counted. And if you start to get those young guys into the mix with the high draft picks, now you're talking about something.
Right. Just being able to develop those guys, just bringing them on. It doesn't matter if you're a free agent. I mean, that's why I like here. Even in Indy was the same way. But here is also, it's just, they don't matter if you're a free agent, first-round draft pick. They're going to coach you exactly the same. Make sure you know what's going on. They're not going to just push you by the wayside. They're going to coach you. They're going to get on you. It doesn't really matter.
You know, everybody, unless you're a first-rounder, is angry about where they're drafted or picked. Because I'm a fourth-rounder, and I'm still bitter about it. You know, so but I think that goes where, you know, wherever, whatever your path was to get where you created your opportunity, you know, unless you're a first-rounder, you know, you got to do something that keeps you here.
Right. I mean, even me, I mean, I'm – coming out of high school, I'm going to D3. I'm like, man, D3? What? what? And then I go to Tennessee, free agent. I'm like, man, I didn't even get drafted. I have teams calling me. Nobody's drafting me. I had one team in Tennessee, and they ended up cutting me twice. And then I'm like, man, I'm at home, sat out a whole year, went back to school, helped coach, went to Canada. I'm like, man, I'm really up here in Canada. I know I should be back in the NFL, man, but made the most of it there. And then I came back, you know, and like started every game I played in.
Hey, up into my last year in 1993, I played on kickoff return my whole career, and I started every game. So that's how desperate I was not to get cut. I was going, as long as I'm on kickoff return, they can't get rid of me.
The more you can do.
In the wedge, my entire NFL career.
Yeah, yeah, I had a lot of respect. You, sir, get a lot of respect for that. That's that old school kickoff return,
right,
too.
Yeah, they've changed the rules a lot since then. They're trying to get rid of kickoffs because of the things that you guys did with that wedge back in the day. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jarrell Freeman. I'm Zach Sabin. Let's take a break. When we come back, have you seen enough from the offseason through these first two preseason games to kind of have an idea of what kind of defense the Bears are going to be in 2016? We'll get Jarrell Freeman's answer next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. For everything from jerseys and hats to bobbleheads and foam fingers, the official Chicago Bears Pro Shop has you covered. Make every day Bears blue and orange at store.chicagobears.com. Linebacker Jarrell Freeman is our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, Zach Sabin, and 85 Bear Tom Thayer with you. You know, it's funny, you guys were talking about how, you know, you never forget. You never forget where you were picked, where you came from. Do you realize that Danny Trevathan, sixth-round pick, the guy who plays right next to you on the defense, Jarrell, mm-hmm. So this guy wins a championship with the Broncos, gets a mega deal from the Bears during the offseason. The general manager of the Bears, Ryan Pace, hand-delivers the Super Bowl ring to the guy on the field after one of the practices in minicamp, right? So the rest of the team, everyone's looking at the ring because, I mean, this thing is like, it's like an ornament on a mega sports car. I mean, this is a major deal, this piece of jewelry. And yet he still talks about the hunger that he has and the drive and the desire that he's nowhere near where he wants to be as a player. You believe him?
Yeah. I mean, I sit and talk to him all the time. We got lockers right next to each other. He's still hungry. He still talks about what he wants to do how many more he wants to win. You know, he's just definitely wherever he came from, he still has that hunger and drive, no question about it.
Well, you have a Super Bowl ring too from New Orleans.
No.
I'm sorry. I was reading about somebody. I thought you.
No, that was Tracy.
Yes, Tracy has a Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, you know, there's other guys on that defense that have the example of that Super Bowl success.
Right.
And it's nice to be able to have that conversation inside the locker room because you want to hear about it. You want to hear about their experiences and how, you know, those guys will help transform this defense, you know, into that type of, you know, defense and that type of success.
Yeah, I mean, we hear him talking. You like you say, see the ring. I'm watching Danny open the box. I'm like, ooh,
even the box is special, right?
Yeah, I mean, we got the lock and everything on it. I'm like, man, I want that. That's what I want. I want whatever it takes to get that. I want that right there.
And he wore it throughout the practice facility that day, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you this. If you're not motivated. Once you see that, and Tom, you know what it's like because you've got that 85 ring. If you're not motivated, once you see that, if you don't have one, then you're just never going to be motivated.
Yeah, like what are you doing here?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is, but you're motivated because that's why you're here. I mean,
right.
You know, that is the ultimate goal of I think anybody that plays their sport of choice. But you know, having the motivation to be here is the reason that you're, you know, sought out by the Bears. They knew they had to upgrade their position specifically, and they know what you and Danny Trevathan have the capabilities of doing for a position that needed to be upgraded from last year.
Like I said, I come here, I'm doing whatever it takes to get to that point where Fox wants to go. And I've known Fox's teams from in the past, and he's built them up. The one in Denver, one in Carolina. I mean, he's always had a good team, and he's always been able to build them. So, I mean, I just wanted to come to something that I knew was going to be successful.
One of the things that John Fox has consistently talked about, really from the offseason till now, just I think based on what he saw last year when you guys weren't here, he wants a tougher team. And I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, there's been, at least through most of camp, there was a flare-up nearly every single day. Is that important, and why? Because I think people hear that there are flare-ups and whatever you want to call it on the practice field. He calls it shoving matches, but whatever you call it, I think sometimes fans who aren't there watching what's going on, they think that's all you guys are doing. They don't really, it lasts for, what, 20 seconds max?
Right, back to work.
But why is that important in terms of building the culture of the football team?
I think that especially defensive-wise, I don't know if you offensive-wise also, I don't know what kind of the attitude you guys have. If you don't have an edge, you don't have a team. You don't have a defense. You know what I mean? You got to have something that makes you tick, and everybody just has it. Everybody just wants something. And it's just you just got that edge to it, you know what I mean? And it's just going and coming, and you just get tired of things, and, you know, it's training camp.
It was always Ted Larson, though.
Well, but the thing about it is you have to think, you know, Ted Larson's on your team, and you don't want Ted Larson backing down either. And that's, you know, being an ex-offensive lineman, and I'm watching he and Akeem Hicks going at it constantly, and I'm going, okay, I see why it's spilling over. It's 100 degrees out here. Right. These guys are playing a little bit beyond the whistle each day, and I don't want either one of them giving up because ultimately you're coming out of the same locker room, and I think you do get benefits from it.
Yeah, you want that. As my D-line, I want that nastiness. And when I see my O-line doing it, I know I'm sitting on the sideline like, oh, these nasty guys about to get out here and get it in. Man, I love seeing it, you know?
There was one play out in Bourbonnais where I think it was Eddie Goldman and Cody Whitehair. So you got a second-year player and a first-year player, and these guys are, I mean, they're tough. They don't talk a lot publicly, but, they're bulldogs.
Yeah,
both of them.
That tired Eddie Goldman out so bad, he had to leave practice after it.
That's the thing about fighting, too.
Right.
You do all that fighting, and then coach is like, get back in there. You're going in for the rest
breathing
of the
heavy,
you're
looking for
so
the water.
Tired.
Right.
But, you know, it is an important deal because in Houston, it's not going to be cold when you guys take the field in Houston. Who knows if they're going to close
the roof. Closed.
You think?
It's going to be closed.
They opened it all 4 years. I was there in Indy now.
All right. Well, but you guys were a dome team in Indy. So
that's
true. I don't know. If I'm reading what's been happening at Bears practices and I'm the Texans, I might keep that thing open. They don't have to make a decision, by the way, until 2 hours before.
Both teams come in the same shape early in the season. Now, say the Bears were going down to Houston in December or early January, and it happened to be an 80-degree Houston day. Then I keep it open because you have more an advantage because you're here in the cold weather.
Yeah,
and
see what you're saying,
you know, back in 85 when we got beat by the Miami Dolphins, we went and played them in Monday Night Football. I think in December it was 80 something degrees at kickoff. We are dying because we are practicing out in 20 degree temperatures.
Yeah, that's a great game. If you ever watch the not great for you, but I mean in terms of the stories, they ran a spread offense basically. That was the first NFL spread offense, right, to get your defense tired.
Yeah, but it was, you know, hiccups that helped those guys win. They had a pass that bounced off of Hampton's head that went for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They had a punt block late in the first half that contributed to a touchdown. So
it was you guys' fault that people went to the spread offense.
Yeah.
See? They were so dominant.
Now we figured it out now.
Yeah. Buddy Ryan's fault. 46 defense.
Got to take another timeout. We still didn't answer the question, what do you think the Bears' defense is going to look like in 2016? We will next with Jarrell Freeman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We continue our conversation with Bears linebacker Jarrell Freeman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Saveman. All right, so let's break it down. You've had a chance to see some of these guys, the veterans, the young players, all the way from all the offseason work till these two preseason games, all through training camp in Bourbonnais, and now you head into this all-important third preseason game. Do you have an idea of what kind of a defensive group you've got.
I think we've got a pretty good defensive group. Really good front seven. And the young guys in the back end are definitely stepping it up. I know they played a lot last year, and I think they've grown a lot during the camp, and that they had confidence and knowing, okay, making these checks and those checks, and I'm confident we're going to have a pretty good defense.
Does the versatility of the front seven make your job harder? Because say you have a standard type of defense where you got two defensive ends, two interior guys that play the same position all the time and don't move. But now you got Lamar, you got Willie, you got Leonard Floyd, you got Sam Acho, that their versatility and the way they can move around and contribute, what we know out of Pernell McPhee, what Eddie Goldman can switch from nose guard to outside, Akeem Hicks can come inside to outside. Mm-hmm. Does it make your job harder because there's so much player movement in front of you, or do you just have to swing with the versatility of your personnel?
Versatility makes my job easier.
It does.
Yeah. Okay. When an offense can't get a beat on where you're going, what you're doing, who's here, who's there, I think it's easy. And it's playing offense defensively, you know what I mean?
Right.
Making them be on their heels, you know, doing things and stunting and doing all kind of stuff, so where I know, okay, the ball's going here. This is the only place the ball can go. I can go be fast, or I know he's going to do this, so I can go play off of him. I know I trust him. And trusting guys, even they with all that versatility, playing different positions, trusting and knowing that they're going to do what they're supposed to do in that position makes things a whole lot easier.
Well, I think it will help you guys is if an offensive lineman is playing against one defensive lineman the whole game, they really get in tune with the balance of their stance and what they do well and what they don't do so well. But, you know, there one moment you got Akeem over you, and then you got Eddie Goldman, then you're bringing in Bullard, then all of a sudden you got Leonard Floyd over the top of you, and then it's Willie Young in a two-point stance going to a three-point stance. That's where I think you can really benefit your defense because the offensive line is not getting an understanding of just they're facing one guy every play.
Right, and then you start, like you're saying, then you start getting offensive linemen. You watch film and you get a lot of tails and everything, and then they start getting worried, so they're going to start getting back into, okay, no, I know it's a pass, I know it's a run, I know he's about to do this, I know he's about to do that. So it making old linemen uncomfortable is a good thing for us, and quarterbacks also. Making that quarterback uncomfortable is a great thing.
I mean, just sit back and think about this. You've got one of the most decorated minds in defensive football in Vic Fangio.
Right.
And now he's got different pieces that he doesn't have to take off the field where you're basically telegraphing what you're going to do defensively. Now you're the opposing quarterback. You're the opposing center. You're looking around. You have no idea who's going to line up where.
Right. I mean, and with that versatility, like you said, going with Vic's play calling, you can be anything at any point in time with his defense.
For people who have not been in the room with Vic, what makes him a special defensive coordinator?
Just hearing how he talks and explaining why things happen and not really dumbing it down. You need to get this or get with somebody that knows how to do this. You know what I mean?
He's direct.
Yeah, he's direct. He's dry with it. He doesn't pull any punches. He's going to let you know this is the way it is. This is how I feel about this. He doesn't care who you are. He's just an old school guy.
Is he a good teacher? Meaning when you – and for you it's different because you're a veteran coming in. But if you're – and there's so many young players
across
that locker room. Can you see them understanding quickly? All right. Here's what you got to do. Here's why you have to do it. And if you do it this way, it's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think him explaining the why and what he sees and what he's looking for, or this is what beats something, or this is just this coverage is made perfect for this. Why would you even do that? You know what I mean? His coaching is one to where he wants out of you, and you know what the defense needs out of you. So I mean, you have to just go out there and do your job.
You know, you haven't experienced yet with Vic Fangio, but you have all this time of preparation going through training camp leading up to the Houston Texans game. And then, boom, you're starting to prepare for the Philadelphia Eagles in week two. Do you like having a lot of carryover from the first week to the second week? Or do you like to do a lot of things differently just to keep the second opponent off balance? But then again, you're shortening the window of time of learning when you go from 5 months preparing for Houston to 4 days preparing for Philly.
I guess it kind of depends on what offense you're going up against. Sometimes you can carry over some stuff. You're going against a West Coast offense, and you're going against that same type of offense the next week. You can have a little, you know what I mean?
Right.
But when you're going to different type, you're going from a West Coast to a spread team, which Philly is, you know what I mean? Just certain things that have to change. There's a lot of calls in there, and you can pull calls from here and put it in. and you'll be able to go run those because, okay, now we got to beat protections. We got to beat this, got to beat that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Bears are playing the same defense they've been playing now for a full season, and you're used to it. But think about it. The Texans are adjusting to a new quarterback.
Right. I agree.
Philadelphia, they're learning a new offense. So there are a lot of other adjustments. We tend to look at it just from a Bears standpoint. You forget that the other teams are adjusting too. It's going to be fun when the regular season starts 17 days from today. Jarrell Freeman, thank you so much for joining us. Stay healthy the rest of the way.
Thank you, Tom Thayer,
Zach Zaidman saying goodbye. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.